Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. But first, here's his message, The Holiness of God.
And now would you take God's word and turn with me to the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Today, I want to talk with you about the holiness of God. Because in order for us to get a picture of who God is, we need to deal with all of the attributes, as many of them as we can at least, in a short period of time, with the attributes of God, the personality of God. Because our God is not a pick and choose kind of God. We can't say, well, like a cafeteria line, I'll have a little bit of the grace of God and I'll have a little bit of the love of God over here, but I think I'll pass on the justice of God. I'm going to bypass the holiness of God. And so putting the picture together, and I feel so inadequate. There was a little girl in Sunday school class. She was drawing a picture and the teacher said, "What are you drawing, honey?" And she said, "Well, I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher said, "Well, darling, no one has ever seen God." Little girl said, "They will after I get through." Well, I don't presume to give you the full picture of God. No human being can. And when I stand before these great truths, I feel like a rookie up for in the World Series for the first time. I mean, it is just so overwhelming to consider the great personality and person of our God. But I want to give it my best shot in these days. So in Isaiah chapter 6, we have a classic text on who God is as a man by the name of Isaiah came face to face with holy God. So in verse 1, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I, send me." Think with me at the outset about the glorious position of our holy God. When Isaiah entered the temple of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, he saw him high and lifted up. He is on the throne of the universe. Now, Isaiah and the rest of the Israelites were deeply troubled because their human king, their earthly king, was dead. There was grief, there was concern about the future. And yet when Isaiah entered into the presence of the Lord, he realized that there was a greater one than any earthly king sitting upon the throne of the universe. His name is Holy God, the Lord of hosts. You see, when we worry about the future, when we wonder what's gone wrong and what will happen next in our world, we don't have to wonder, we don't have to wring our hands worrying, because as believers in our God, we know that He is sitting on the throne of the universe. And there is no panic in heaven, only plans. God never walks up and around and down the streets of heaven wringing His hands, wondering about what He's going to do next. Even though the nations may rage, God is still on His throne. And there is no throne above His throne. He alone is King of kings and Lord of lords. This scene is a majestic and powerful scene as the sovereign king sits upon the throne of the universe. So often our God is so small and we think of him in earthly terms, but somehow I want you to get your minds off this earthly moment and get beyond into the presence of God, and by the eye of faith, see God gloriously reigning and ruling upon the throne of the universe. Let me also remind you of the identity of the one who sits on the throne. He is called here the Lord of hosts. And John's gospel tells us in John chapter 12 and verse 41 that Isaiah saw the Lord and he was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, our Savior and our God, who sits upon the throne. We don't have three gods. When we get to heaven, we'll not see God the Holy Spirit over here and God the Son over there and God the Father right there. No, we have one God. He is expressed in the persons of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But when we see the one face to face who is seated upon the throne, his name is Jesus. For the scripture says that God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. We see God through Jesus Christ, not through esoteric experiences or human vision or New Age mysticism. We see God through the person of Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us in Ephesians 1:18, we see him according to the revelation of his word. We understand God through the eyes of our heart, by the eyes of our hearts, which have been enlightened. In other words, we see God in his word. We see God in his truth. We can come face to face with God through Jesus Christ as we open our hearts and open our eyes to his love and his light. He is the King of Kings. He saw him there. Now, Isaiah also saw the court of the king. And there in the court of the king were these seraphim, these angelic beings. The word seraphim literally means the burning ones. These burning ones were aflame and ablaze with adoration to God. It says in the scriptures, the angels are ministers of fire. They minister in a flame of fire. And here is all of this activity, these angelic beings that are flying and worshiping and praising and singing and soaring about the throne of God. And they are on fire with passion and praise. Hear this. If you are in the presence of God Almighty, it is impossible to remain lukewarm and cool in his presence. So many Christians today in their churches, they want their worship casual and cool and easy does it. But in the presence of the thrice holy God of the ages, there is burning, powerful, emotional, heartfelt experience. I want to feel deeply my worship of God. I'm not talking about silly extremes. I'm not talking about sensual kinds of activities that are often expressed as so-called worship. But I'm simply saying in the presence of God, I dare not remain comfortable or casual because I am in his holy presence and I want to experience the wonder of his presence. I want to celebrate and adore the joy that I have in him. I want to love him with all of my heart. I want to sense brokenness of sin and I want to know the power of God that comes from being in his presence. That is what Isaiah experienced that day. So worship is not simply to be dignified, stiff, routine, but rather there are times when we just overflow in praise and adoration. And note the song that they sang. It was an antiphonal song. They sang it back and forth. Holy, 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 these angels did sing. Holy, holy, holy. Some Bible scholars suggest that that is an allusion to the Trinity, the thrice holy God, holy, holy, holy. I think rather it is a literary phrase to give emphasis where emphasis is due on the character of God. When Jesus would say something, he would often begin by saying, verily, what? Verily. He would repeat it. That was a common Hebrew idiom in order to emphasize, rather than using exclamation points or question marks or those kinds of things, in the very language itself, they would speak and repeat in order to underscore the power and the weight of what was being said. And so here are these angelic beings saying, holy, holy, holy. You cannot say it enough. It is perpetual praise. Holy, 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 and the whole world is filled with His glory. The gospel songwriter said, have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And so he saw something, and then he felt something very deeply. He heard these words, God is holy, holy, holy. Now, there you have it in a sentence. The very nature and essence of who God is. Holy, holy, holy. The scripture does not say love, 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 or faithful, 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 or mercy, 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 or wrath, 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 any of the other attributes that support the nature of God, but rather the very core of His being, He is holy, holy, holy.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, the holiness of God. Right now, it feels a bit like our world is coming apart at the seams. And as believers in Christ, it's critical we clearly represent a biblical worldview to a watching world and bring the healing and hope that's so desperately needed. We want to equip you to provide the answers our world is asking for by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. It's our thanks for your gift today to help take the healing power of the gospel to more people around the world. So please call today to give and request your copy of CultureWise. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, the holiness of God.
The word holy means set apart. It means separate. On the positive side, it means completely, perfectly pure. On the other side, it means totally separated from sin. And when Isaiah saw the Lord in His holiness, he cried out, whoa, I am undone. And he used a word which means I am unraveling here in the presence of God, because every good Hebrew knew that you cannot see God and live. And now he's seeing God and he sees God's holiness and he says, woe, woe, woe. That is a statement of judgment. The prophets would often say, woe unto you. Jesus would say, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. So now this man is pronouncing a judgment upon himself. He is saying, woe, I am undone. I am toast here. Because I am a man of unclean lips. I am a sinful man. Now, Isaiah was probably the best man in all of Israel. And yet, in the purity and the presence of holy God, he saw his own sinfulness. He saw his own brokenness in the presence of holy God. Every person who encountered the living God and in like manner also experienced the same kind of repentance and contrition. Job came into the presence of God, and in Job 42 verse 6, when seeing God, he said, "Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." On another occasion, Job, having seen God and conversed with God, he said, "I put my hand over my mouth. My mouth is shut. There's no talking back in the presence of God." Habakkuk, the prophet, said, "When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice, and rottenness entered my bones." Ezra 9 verse 6 said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to thee." One day when Peter saw the grace and the glory of God in a supernatural miracle, he saw the presence of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And in that moment, Peter recognized his own sinful humanity. And he said, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." How different a God we see here in Isaiah 6 and in these passages than in the common God that so many people attempt to worship today. Kind of a soft, sentimental God of our own choosing and our own making. A politically correct God. A God that's like us, and the Bible calls that idolatry. Our God is a holy God. And because of the holiness of God and the perfection of His holiness, His law, every word that He speaks is holy and righteous and just. And a portion of the holiness of God is that wrath of God, for the wages of sin is death. And so Isaiah said, "I'm a dead man. I'm history. Because I'm a sinful man in the presence of a holy God." And then something amazing happened around the throne of God. For not only was there a throne, but there was an altar. And one of the seraphim picked with the tongs from the altar a blazing coal and touched the lips of Isaiah and said, "Now you are clean and your sins have been purged. You are forgiven." And in that moment, we see that there is not only in heaven a throne, but there is an altar. If we only came to the throne of a holy God, we would all be done for. But thank God, in heaven, there is not only a throne, but there is an altar. And that altar came to the earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus died on the cross. That's what the cross is about. Here is holy God. Holy other, separate, totally different from any of us. And as much as we try, many of us have grown up in traditions and churches where we have felt that the way to God was by good works, achieving and believing certain things, and by climbing spiritual ladders, by doing certain amounts of good deeds, that somehow we would attain the love of God or the salvation of God. But none of us can make it. The chasm is too large. The gap is too great. And we've all, in the presence of God, the moment we start thinking we're doing well, bragging about ourselves, if you want to compare yourself to someone else, you can always find somebody who's worse than you are. I mean, if you know, so many people think that the gospel is for, you know, the pimps and the pornographers and the prostitutes, and you know, throw the politicians in there and... throw the preachers in there for all that's good. But, you know, that it's for somebody else, but not me. I mean, I may not be all that good, but I'm not all that bad. But you get into the presence of God Almighty. You get into the white hot light of His presence and you realize how dirty you are. But God did something about it when we couldn't. God, by the altar which we call the cross, came. And in the person of Jesus Christ, God took sinful man with one hand and holy God with the other. And at the cross, there is salvation and there is life and there is forgiveness. And our sins are purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what salvation is. That is what the Bible is all about. It's about sinful man being made right with a holy God. And that's why in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone, because only Jesus Only Jesus paid the price and poured out his blood on the cross for our sin. Only Jesus can take your sins away. And so there, Isaiah experienced the grace of God. That's why we say grace is so amazing. Because God in Christ has overcome our unholiness. His glorious position, his gracious provision in Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're to worship God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. What is our response to be to a holy God? We're to worship him with hearts that are yielded to him and open to him and responsive to him. We are to receive him and know him through trusting him as our Lord and Savior. And then the scripture says we are to pursue holiness. For without holiness, no man can see God. Now hear this very carefully. In Jesus Christ, we are made holy. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are made righteous. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, because that is who we are, if we are truly born again from above, we have the nature of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God living in us. And now, by his power, he is making us more and more like himself day by day. And therefore, we are to grow in purity and in holiness and in godliness. That should be the pursuit of every one of our lives. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, be holy even as God is holy. You know, we look at our lives and we say, God, why am I not getting better? Why am I not growing stronger in my faith? Why am I not living the way you call me to live? Because I'm so weak. I'm not like you, Lord. If you went out to got you a chair and looked under, sat under an apple tree and just watched an apple grow, you know, just minute after minute, hour after hour, day after day, you probably wouldn't see much. But if you'd go out about once a week and look at that apple, you would see the growth. And I look at my life, you know, minute by minute, and I don't see a lot sometimes, but I can look back over time and over the years, and I see how God is doing some things in my life that make me more like him, and so can you. We're not talking about the perfection of our lives, but the direction of our lives. And what happens when Jesus Christ comes in is he begins to make us like himself. We're getting better because he's living in us. The Holy One is here. So I want to spend my life and spend my days chasing the holiness of God. And running hard after what God has called me to do in obedience to him. And one day, when we stand before him complete, when we stand in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It all begins with a step of faith and trust. When you come to the end of yourself and like Isaiah say, I'm wasted, I'm done, I'm a hopeless wreck in the presence of a holy God. And therefore, I trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior and invite him in to come and to live and to change me and to make me into what he wants me to be. That's the God we love and serve. When they ask Isaiah, who will serve me? Who will go and tell my message? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. He was now equipped and ready to go.
Welcome back to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A lot of Christians are asking right now, what can I do to help turn our culture around? The answer is you can bring the healing power of the gospel into the public square. And we want to help you do that by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise, as thanks for your gift today. You'll discover what God's word says about issues like the sanctity of human life, evolution, and other big topics facing our culture today, so you can be equipped to be a loving influencer for Christ. So call now and give to help mend our broken culture with the gospel and request your copy of CultureWise. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
I'd like for you to think with me a moment about the glorious position of our holy God. In Isaiah 6, the prophet of the Lord described his vision of God, how he saw him high, sitting on a throne, lifted up. Isaiah saw the Lord on the throne of the universe. Now, Isaiah and the rest of the Israelites were deeply troubled because their earthly king was dead. They were grieving, and they were concerned about their future. Yet when Isaiah entered the presence of the Lord, he realized that there was a greater one than any earthly king who is now sitting on the throne of the universe. His name is the Lord of hosts. He is our most high God. Sometimes it's easy to worry about the future and wonder what's gone wrong and what's going to happen next in our world. But as believers in our Lord Jesus, we don't have to worry. We don't even have to wonder. We don't have to wring our hands because we know that our God is sitting on the throne of the universe. Remember, there is no panic in heaven, only plans. And God never walks up and down the streets of heaven wondering about what he's going to do next. So no matter what's going on in your world today, no matter how out of control things may seem, remember, God is still in control. Today, my prayer is that you will get your mind off the earthly and the temporary that's passing away and put your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the risen, reigning Savior, ruling upon the throne of the universe.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Jack Graham's book, CultureWise, as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. But join us again next time. Dr. Graham brings a message about God's incomparable love for you. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.